Happy Mother's Day. All you mothers and mothers-to-be. Young people may be dismissed to your classes. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together and agree upon a certain thing, I am standing today in agreement. If you agree with me, you stand, okay? But standing in agreement with what Pastor Brad said, that Wednesday night would be a good thing for you to come to. Do you agree with that? If you agree with that, stand up. You agree that Wednesday night would be a good thing for you to come to. Ooh, I'm tricking y'all. That means you think it's a good thing to come to Wednesday night prayer. It's prayer practice, and we're going to learn how to pray in a different way than we've been praying in the past. Thank you. You may be seated. I hope to see most of or all of you here. Then, yeehaw. God is so good. I took a quick trip to see my mom because I wasn't going to be able to see her today. So I left on Friday evening or Friday afternoon and I came back yesterday noon. And so I was thinking about motherhood, but I turned my phone, the Bible that's in my phone. Is it hot in here? It's hot in here. Just you. It's hot in here. A couple of you thinking it's hot in here. Woo! Then it must be hot in here. I know I'm like, it's hot in here. We've been praying for fire, so I don't know. Yeehaw, God. I had my phone with me, and I had a CD that I wanted to listen to. So I listened to part of it, but I thought, man, I'm just going to plug my phone in and listen to Bible on my phone. And I turned on. Started Acts chapter 1. And I didn't get very far. And I kept rewinding it and rewinding it and rewinding it because there was a word, a couple words that just kind of stuck out to me. So I would like to start with Acts chapter 1. And for the sake of a title for tape and video, I'd like to call it. It's Mother Day, so we got to put motherhood in there somewhere, right? But motherhood, the infallible proof of passion. Acts chapter 1, 1 through 3 says this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles. We've talked about this before. I want to just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. He had already written one book. This is his second book. And he was explaining in this second book that the first book was about what Jesus had started to do, not what he finished, but what he had started to do and to teach, which means there's more to do. Amen? There's more to do. That's what he's talking about right here. This is what I told you in the first book, what Jesus began to do and teach. And through the Holy Spirit, he had given commandments to the apostles. Now, we know Matthew 28:19 is a recorded word that came from the Lord. Jesus gave to his disciples. Are you a disciple? Amen. Thank you very much. We are disciples of Jesus. And he gave this word to his disciples. The last recorded word was this. Go into all the world and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. and teaching them the things that I've already taught you. I've taught you, now go teach them. That's what he said. So here he is reiterating, because he already knew this, so he didn't have to write down in every detail what he was saying. He says, but through the Holy Spirit, he had given commandments. Commandments are what? Thou shall either do or don't. But it's not a suggestion, right? It's not just a good thought. It's a commandment. He commanded the disciples to go into all the world. And whose disciples? Very good. You guys are learning fast this morning. You're with me. I like that. Whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many, and here's the two words that just kept sticking out, infallible proofs. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We read on Wednesday night on our first prayer practice, that was kind of a spare of the moment sent out by email. We read in Acts chapter 4, and we read quite a bit of that, but one of the verses in there says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. I want to kind of give you another translation for that word boldness. Okay, you ready? Now when they saw the passion of Peter and John, when they saw the boldness, or when they saw the passion of Peter and John, passion will take you a long way. I said in the first services, our first class this morning, that we didn't actually have officially, but a whole bunch of people didn't get the email, so they showed up anyways. So I want to reiterate that same thing this morning again. Now, when they saw the boldness or the passion of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. One translation, I think it was the Message or the NIV, says they were unschooled. I would like to see a show of hands. How many of you would consider yourself not the smartest or the sharpest tool in the box? How many would think you were just a little bit off, right? That's no excuse. That's no excuse. Being uneducated is not an excuse. Oops. My mom, she was telling somebody, and she was telling me about it. She said that when Tammy first became a Christian, my parents bought her a Bible. And she said, literally within a month, it looked like it was a 30-year-old Bible. She devoured it. It wasn't because she had education. It was because there was a passion to know Jesus and to know everything. I remember, sorry, I'm going to tell her a little bit, but being it's Mother's Day, I'm allowed, right? I don't talk about her a lot. I talk about my kids, but I don't talk about Tammy a lot. So I'm going to talk about her a little bit. She said, I can't wait to become one of them tithers. She meant tithers. She wanted to be a tither. And then you know what's really interesting is because then she I think, I don't know if it was after that, before that, or whatever, but anyway, she ended up getting a job where she got a raise, and she goes, oh my goodness, I get to tithe more. There's something that happens that doesn't come with education. It comes with passion. It comes with boldness, but it comes with passion that changes the way we think. There are people who have come to this church and other churches and sitting in churches today who are not ready to change the lifestyle in which they live. So in a bit of time sitting in church, they start to become a little uncomfortable, even if they're not preaching against sin from the pulpit, even if the church is just loving on them. The presence of God alone, just a little bit of the presence of God will make you feel like you need to make some changes. But unless you have an encounter with a God who changes lives, not just talking about being in his presence, I'm talking about meeting him. He doesn't change your desire. It's passion that changes when we have an encounter with God. The rest of that verse says, they realized that they were uneducated and untrained men. Then they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. There's something about when you spend time with him that is the only excuse as a Christian. It is the only excuse that we are allowed to have when we don't have passion. The only excuse is that we have not spent enough time with Jesus. It has nothing to do with education. Now, of course, when you don't spend enough time with Jesus, you start doing some stuff you probably aren't supposed to be doing, right? You move from this position of passion to just a place of commitment. Look, it's important that in our relationships and our marriages that we have commitment. It's a good thing. It's a big deal. But unless there's passion involved, it is reduced to just commitment. It's just comfortable. I don't know about you, but in my walk with God, I want to just stop being comfortable and regain my passion. How about you? You want to just say, God, I don't know what's going on, but somehow or another, I have become somewhat apathetic in my relationship with you. I'm committed to you. I'm not talking about walking away from you. I'm still serving you. I'm still a greeter. I'm still a Sunday school teacher. I still come to church on I come every Sunday. I come to prayer. I come on Sunday nights when we have service. I come to OIP on Monday nights in fellowship with the church. But somehow or another, I'm just walking in commitment, and I need to find my passion. I need to find my fire. First Corinthians 14, 1 through 5 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. I didn't say that. Paul did. Because a lot of times we don't want to think that someone's better than someone else, right? It's not talking about the person. It's talking about the gift. It's better to edify the body than it is to just edify yourself. That does not detract one iota from edifying yourself. You need to be edified so that you can edify the body. If you have nothing to give, how do you help? How do you exhort the body? How do you comfort the body if you are completely drained? So it's important to don't misunderstand what he's saying here. He's not saying that one is greater than the other. What he's saying is you need to do the one so that you could do the other. That's the end game. The end game is to bless the body of Christ. The end game is to show infallible proof that you've been with Jesus. Got that? The end game is to show infallible proof that you've been with Jesus and that you spend time with him. Not that you've just been with him 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago, but I've spent time with him today. We talked a little bit about Acts chapter 4 this morning. in our non-class that we had. Come on, guys, that was funny. We sent the email out last night. No, hardly nobody read it, so everybody showed up for class this morning. So we had a non-class. We talked about how Peter and John went to the temple, and as they went to the temple, there was a man there that who was asking for alms, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that what I have, let me give it to you. Rise up and walk." That does not fit the mold or the model of prayer in which we are accustomed to today, because they didn't pray. They didn't talk to God. They talked to the man. Huh? I said they didn't talk to God. They talked to the man, because they had already talked to God. They had already spent time in the presence of God. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Other translations put it like this: pursue love and eagerly pursue. Seek to acquire. Make it your aim, your goal, your great, great quest and desire. Strive. Set your hearts on. Lust after spiritual gifts. You don't do those things unless you have passion. Right? You don't lust after something, you got some passion. Now, we got enough mothers in here that we know that a good majority of us have experienced lust at one point in our time, in our life. Right? So we know what it is. We usually don't talk about it in church too much, unless we're talking about it in the sinful nature. But let me tell you something. It is okay to covet, lust after, put our hearts on, seek after the spiritual gifts that God has for us. We're supposed to do that. These are ways of developing a passion for spiritual gifts. Passion produces results. There are infallible proofs that there has been a passion in your past. The fact that there are mothers here proves that some of you women and men have experienced passion. You know what it means to eagerly pursue, seek to acquire, make it your aim, your goal, your great quest and desire. Strive, set your hands on. Really? Lust after? Sometime in your life. So we know what it means. Right? We know what it means to desire something or someone. Now, it is normal for passion or desire to become less than it was in the past. For example, it's part of the human condition. I remember Sydney. When she was a little girl, she had a passion for these little brat dolls. I mean, she would line them up. She would talk to them. She would spend hours and hours and hours with these little brat dolls. Now, zoom ahead a few years. I don't think she even remembers what they are. The passion is gone for brat dolls for Sydney. At least I think. I haven't heard her talk about them in a long time. A lot of us who have been married for a period of time, we know that there are ups and downs and there are cycles in our relationships where the passion has been high and there are times when we just coast by on commitment. What is passion? It's a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for someone or about doing something. It is a strong feeling It's a feeling. Passion is feeling, such as love, anger, right? It is a strong and sometimes barely controllable emotion. Passion seems to be strong when relationships are new, but as time passes, comfortability, falling into the schedule of routine, the diversity of different interests, causing apathy to set in, so that all that is left is commitment. It is a part of the human condition. Think about how many people do you know who've been divorced? And they've said these words, "I fell out of love." Which means they've lost the passion and they forgot the commitment. Right? That's what it means. It means I lost the passion and I forgot about the commitment. Therefore, I have fallen out of love. The passion part of a relationship is the feelings part. It's the emotional part. And in our relationship with God, it's the same. The Lord has given us an antidote. For anybody who sees what I post on Facebook sometimes on Sunday mornings, I posted this or something similar to this. The Lord has given us an antidote for apathy. It's called revival or renewal. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again because it's really true. That you cannot be revived unless at one point in your life you were revived. You can't rethink something unless at one point you thought something. Amen? For you to re something, you have had to do something in the first place. Revival is not for the world. Revival is for the church. Now, the world may end up with a benefit or a byproduct of the church actually getting on fire again. Right? Because then we fall back into that same line that when we have a passion or we have a boldness, when we have a fire in our belly, we cannot keep our mouth shut about what God is doing in our life. And the lost are going to have to hear it because we can't keep our mouth shut. Right? So the world will benefit from us being revived, but we've got to get our vibe revived. Amen? God has put in place an antidote for a human condition that is called apathy. Apathy is when we just kind of go along and get along. We do all the stuff we're supposed to do, right? You can do everything you're supposed to do, but unless you put a passion in it, you're not going to really be that effective. Truthfully, you're not. There has to be a passion. There has to be a fire that will accomplish things in our lives. And that passion, that fire, needs to be for the things and the kingdom of God. If we will have and allow God, not just allow him, but ask God, pursue, lust after, revival and renewal in our lives, things are going to change, not just for us, but for everybody who comes in contact with us. We will be different. And so every situation and every circumstance that we walk into and interject ourselves into or by mistake happen to be in will change. Right? It is so vitally important for our relationship, for our walk with God, to have and be experience revival. We have got to find new layers and new levels of passion and revival and fire for our lives. rather than just getting through and going through. The older we get, the more we realize that a year is not very long. It's just a blimp of time. And as mothers, you watch your children, you realize, oh my goodness, just slow down. Right? I remember Facebook has one of these things that it shows you memories from 2 years ago and 5 years ago or whatever. And there's pictures of, it was Alex put on Keegan. That was 5 years ago. I mean, Keegan was like this big. Yeah. And it's like, oh my goodness, where did time go? And a lot of our time is spent just going through the motions because we've reduced our lives to just living in the level of commitment. The motto, the vision that church has adopted from the beginning of Tammy and I's being around at all, has been committed to the restoration of the body of Christ. Committed. That's important. We have got to live in a level of commitment that says no matter what, whether I have the feelings, whether I have the passion, whether I have the boldness, whether I agree, whether the atmosphere is full of fighting and arguing or whatever the case may be, I am committed. Nothing is going to stop it. Nothing's going to change it. I am committed. That's good. But that's not all of it. I am committed to the restoration of the body of Christ through the pursuit. To pursue something means you have to be actively passionate for it. To go after it, there must be a level of passion in us. I remember talking to my daughters when they were young, and guys and girls are different. It's just all there is to it. I wish it wasn't the case, but it is. And over time, I'm sure that some of this has changed, but I remember telling my daughters, look, if the outside of a fold on a jacket on a guy is sitting next to you and the fold on that on your jacket is touching, you may not realize it. But that guy is 100% aware of the fact that you are touching. And unless you stop him, all he wants to do is pursue that. So the next thing is, now there's not going to be any fold. He's going to be touching shirt to shirt. And if you don't stop that, eventually it's going to be wrist to wrist or hand to hand. At some point, you're going to have to stop it because unless you stop it, he's going to continue to pursue until he apprehends. That's what it means to have a passion for the presence of God and revival. Unless he stops me, I'm going after him. That's the kind of revival that we need in our lives. That's the kind of revival we need in this church, and that's the kind of revival we need in this community, in this valley, in this state, in this country. Would you stand with me this morning? I believe that we can get back to the place where our passion for God and the things that he's passionate about are followed up with infallible proofs. Say that with me. Infallible proofs. Infallible proofs. It's another way of saying this. Actions speak louder than words. I can say I'm a Christian. What infallible proofs do I have to prove it with? Just because I don't go do this or don't go do that or don't hang out with that person or whatever? Is that infallible proof? No. You can just be a good person and not do some things. You can just be a good person and do some things. But if I'm going to be a follower of Christ, I want infallible proofs to follow after me. People can realize, wait a minute, he's a Christian. Well, how do you know? Look, here's infallible proofs. There was a man one time that was instrumental in ringing my bell when I was in the world, and somebody was talking bad about him, and he had a Corvette and he had a nice conversion van and lots of kids and had his own home, had a business, and he worked a full-time job, and somebody said he must be a drug dealer. And I heard it and I said, not a drug dealer, he's a Christian. You know how I know? I was around him. I heard him talk before. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? I knew he was a Christian. There was infallible proofs that followed him. You couldn't be around him very long, and he was talking about God. He was talking about Jesus. He was talking about how good God had been to him in his life. There was something burning inside of him, and it wasn't because he was selling drugs. It was because he was a follower of Christ. Believe that as a church, we need to make a commitment to contend for, lay a hold on, eagerly pursue, seek to acquire, make it our aim, our goal, our great quest and desire that we set our hearts on and strive for, even lust after revival. Lord, either blow on the flames that are within me or light the fire once again. I want to give opportunity this morning that if you feel like this word has kind of hit you, or if you just feel like, you know what, I agree. I can completely 100% say amen to just about everything you said this morning. I'd like to invite you to the front that we can pray together. I'm not asking for you to come so that I can pray for you. I want to ask you to come so that we can pray together, that God will light us on fire fresh and new. If you come now. If you can agree with this, if you can say amen, we need to be set fresh and new on fire for him. We need to see revival hit this church. We need to see revival hit our lives individually. We need to see revival touching our young people, our kids, our adults, our seniors. Tired of just walking along with life in just the level of commitment. And remember, commitment's good. Commitment's great. Commitment is true and honest. Amen? It's true and honest. Commitment is true and honest. It's a good thing, but without passion, it's kind of boring. And life with Christ, he came not to just give us life, but he came to give us life abundantly. He came to give us life, to set us on fire and make us, not only should we be having fun, but we should be fun. Right? Why don't you just take a hold of the hand of the person next to you? And let's all pray together, all right? This is not me praying over you. This is all of us praying together. And if you didn't come up because of kids or whatever, you just grab a hold of the person next to you or go stand by somebody and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, humbly. But at the same time, we come before you boldly because we know that we are a child of the Most High God. We have allowed ourselves to come into a place of just comfortability and apathy in our lives. We ask, Lord, that a fresh new baptism of fire and passion will fall upon us individually and upon this church. We ask, Lord, that you would completely revive us, send revival into our homes and into our lives and into this church. Lord, we pray that your fire would fall and rebaptize us in your presence, in your spirit. Make us more in love with you than we've ever been in our entire life. Let us see results in our relationships with you. Let us see results in our relationships with each other. Let us see results in our relationships with our moms and our dads and our siblings and our parents. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will show us that we have infallible proofs to walk behind what we say we are, what we act like we are, that you are showing up and showing off in our lives, that everybody can recognize and understand that we are followers of Christ, not because we stand and say we're a Christian, but because the infallible proofs are following us. They're following after us. We're not following after signs, but signs follow after us, proving that we are a child of the Most High God. We give you the honor and the glory. Holy God, you are so good. You are so good. I pray that you would revive us, restore us, renew us. Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Shake our world with your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the honor and the glory. You are holy, holy, holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray blessings upon your people. I pray, Lord, that you would let our minds and our hearts be in tune with you. I pray blessings upon your people, Lord, that you would go with us, that you would keep our minds and our hearts stayed on you. Let the fire that is within us already start to well up in us, that we cannot keep silent about what you are doing in our lives, that we cannot keep silent about what you're doing in our church, that we cannot keep silent about what you're doing in our families, in our jobs, in our relationships. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would excite us fresh and new again with passion and boldness for you and for the things that you are passionate and bold about. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed and just hug on somebody's neck. Tell them how much you care about them, that kind of thing. You know, it's good. It's a good thing.